when we follow the liturgy, we're never lacking guidance or instruction, because every day the scriptures give us the word of God. This week, the ongoing formation of the liturgy is all about our task as missionaries. Started with Sunday's gospel, remember the calling and the sending out of the 72, and then all week we have been reflecting on different aspects of this character of our life as missionaries. Today's readings give us two areas that are of concern. The gospel deals with the whole problem or challenge of persecution, and the first reading, how to deal with sin. Imagine the 72 disciples that were sent out on Sunday. They were given the content of their teaching. The kingdom of God is at hand. They were given, or they were not given equipment, but they were told not to bring anything with them. So the spirit of poverty was very clear. Don't rely on your money or possessions or anything you can carry. And they were told that they were being sent out like lambs in the midst of wolves. That's repeated again in today's gospel. Sheep in the midst of wolves. And they went out. Certainly they were nervous about going out into the world with nothing. But they came back rejoicing, remember? They came back rejoicing because they seemed to have extraordinary success. Even the demons were subject to them in Jesus' name. It's not always like that. We don't always come back rejoicing or successful. It sometimes seems as if we haven't accomplished anything. And that's why these readings are important to us. What to do when we run into fierce opposition, what to do when we run into our own sin condition as a obstacle to achieving the mission. Now, persecution and sin and our own sin are not the only possible obstacles. There are other factors that come in, and it's perhaps good to keep that in mind. We can't always blame bad guys. Sometimes it's just the weather or just circumstances. There's a typhoon. We can't get somewhere. Well, you can't blame anybody except God himself. Sometimes it's our own physical condition. We just can't do it. Maybe age or sickness or other circumstances. So that's not because of our sin or because of anybody's opposition. It just happens that way. But let's focus for now on these two difficulties, opposition from, or persecution from others, and then in the first reading, how to deal with sin. As it turns out, in both cases, the answer is the same. Rely on God. Turn back to God and rely on him. Let's see what Jesus says to the apostles in this gospel. He again says he's sending them out as sheep in the midst of wolves, but he adds something that was not in Sunday's gospel. Be shrewd as serpents and simple as doves. So, sheep in the midst of wolves, that's already bad enough. But if we're under the care of a good shepherd, we don't have to worry, because sheep don't worry about anything if they're under the care of the shepherd. But this instruction about being shrewd as serpents and simple as doves gives us something to think about here. We're going into hostile territory, and we're not supposed to go with our eyes closed or with stupidity. We're supposed to use our intellect and whatever resources we do have, gifts of God, to be wise when we're facing opposition. It's a little ironic here, because serpents usually are symbols of evil. And certainly Jesus is not telling us to be evil, but he is telling us to be shrewd, be wise, be prudent, be discerning. Keep developing your capability of reading the situation. As simple as doves, sometimes translated innocent as doves, the symbol of the dove is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. serpents, doves. They don't seem to be at all related. Jesus says, no, both. What you can gain from the serpent is shrewdness, wisdom. The dove, innocence, purity, divine perfection. But then he goes on to say, you're going to be handed over, you're going to be scourged, you're going to be brought into courts, you're going to be called upon to give witness toward in hostile audiences, but don't worry about it. He does this in a number of places. He sets up this terrible circumstance, and then he says, but don't worry about it. Comes up in tomorrow's gospel too. People are going to kill you. People are going to, scourge you. Your own family members are going to betray you. But don't worry about it. Now, how can he say a thing like that? It's the same advice he gives to the lambs in the midst of wolves. How can he say, I'm sending you like a lamb in the midst of wolves, but don't worry about it? Because we're not relying on ourselves. If we were, we would have a lot to worry about. We would be in an impossible situation. We would be overcome with fear. But he says, don't fear, don't worry, because you have the Spirit of your Father. You have the Holy Spirit in you, protecting you, speaking in you, giving you what you are to say. So you don't have to worry. Even though you're persecuted, rely on the Holy Spirit. For those who know what it means to rely on the Holy Spirit, that's great. That's great news. For those who don't know what that means, it sounds like Jesus isn't giving any help at all. So this is an important instruction, an important indication of where our faith must grow. We have to learn how to rely on the Holy Spirit. We have to. In fact, what God does, he often allows us to experience our limitations before we face persecution. He allows us to experience some obstacle or personal limitation so that we will learn how to rely on the Holy Spirit. If we don't learn that, we're sitting ducks. We're lambs in the midst of wolves without any defense. We have to know how to rely on God. This is also part of the reason why he says don't bring money or extra sandals and the walking staff and bags. Don't rely on natural resources or strength. Rely on God. He insists that this is the way to persevere. Okay, now that's the instruction from the gospel. It has to do with opposition from without. But in the first reading, we address this problem of opposition from within, our own sin. We are our own enemy. Even if nobody's opposing us, we can still collapse. And this is what the prophet Hosea says. Now, this is an Old Testament reading, so he's not referring to the Holy Spirit or being a missionary of Jesus Christ, but we can translate it into New Testament language and realize that the same thing applies to us. The Lord says through the prophet, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. You have collapsed through your guilt. Sometimes we collapse, and it's not anybody else's fault. It's our own fault. We have collapsed through our own guilt. We were tempted, gave in to temptation. We were aware that this was going to be a problem. We did it anyway. That's human nature. And we don't have to think back more than a day or two without coming up with examples of, I should never have said that. I should never have done that. I should never have, whatever, allowed that thought to rise up and blow up in the family or whatever it is. So what do we do when we have collapsed through guilt? Again, we cannot rely on natural resources. We can't overcome sin by ourselves. The instruction through Hosea is very beautiful. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Get some words. Well, what words? What words? I like to tell people, say bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was so many weeks ago. So a lot of people don't know how to go to confession. They don't know what to say. Well, it's good to have some words. You have to have a script. I don't know how to start. Okay, say this. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was 4 weeks ago or whatever it is. These are my sins. And then once people get started, they can usually pick up some momentum and people can identify their sins. And then after that declaration of sins, and the priest gives some counsel and a penance, then the priest will say, well, now make an act of contrition. Well, that is this, words. We take with us words. We have to use words in order to express our need for God's mercy. Oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended you. Now, a lot of people don't have the act of contrition memorized. That's okay. They can use other words, but we have to put into words our admission of our guilt, admission that we are sinners, and a request for the mercy of God. And that's all it takes. Take with you words and say, forgive all iniquity. Forgive me, I'm a sinner. These are more words we don't have to use, but we're not going to get salvation from political alliances. We're not going to get salvation from military might. We're not going to get salvation from idols or from human associations. We're going to get salvation from God. So he's the one we address humbly when we are sinners. And what does God say? I will heal their defection, says the Lord. I will love them freely, for my wrath is turned away from them. We take words, we come back to the Lord, we say we're sorry, have mercy, and he gives us words. I absolve you of your sins. I forgive you. I love you. I love you more than you even realize. I loved you even before you came and repented. And I'm so delighted to be able to express my love for you. Those are God's words to us. And then, the rest of the reading gives images of the kind of restoration that God wants for repentant sinners, or in the language of Pope Francis in the talk we studied yesterday, saved sinners. We are a community of saved sinners. We are forgiven sinners. We're all sinners. There's no boast there. Our boast is that we are saved by the Lord. We have a solution to the problem of our sin. At the end, again, through the prophet, the Lord says, let him who is wise understand these things. Wise as a serpent. Let him who is wise understand these things. Let him who is prudent know them. Don't be a fool when it comes to the solution to sin. Be shrewd as a serpent. Know what your enemy is, know what the problem is, and know the solution. Straight are the paths of the Lord. In them the just walk, but sinners stumble in them. Well, the scriptures give us the paths of the Lord. What to do? What to do when we're facing persecution? Rely on the Holy Spirit. What to do when we're dealing with our own sin condition? Rely on the mercy of God. Never try to rely on yourselves. Never try to do it yourself. It's a recipe for failure. The recipe for success, even if it doesn't look like success in the world, is always to rely on God. So that's what we're being encouraged to do, so that we can be fruitful missionaries to build up the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ.